is a Woodside Church podcast.
Good morning. Let's just stand for a minute and just come before God. Oh, Father God, we just thank you. You're a God of the new. You're the God that brings refreshing. You're the God that helps us just get to know you more, because you just blow our minds. And we just thank you that this morning we get to come into your presence, and we thank you for the worship we've had just to draw us in closer to you. But Holy Spirit, come now and speak to us. Help us to move on in our journey of faith, to get to know you, to get to know Father God, to get to know what Jesus has done and that sacrifice he made on the cross for us. Help us to push more into you this morning. Oh, we thank you, God, that we just get this privilege, because you are amazing, God. Amen. Yeah, so today we're going to speak about compassion in action. So compassion, to have sympathy, to have pity and concern for the sufferings of others, but then in action to do something about it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not too keen on compassion in action, because it kind of pulls at your heartstrings, doesn't it? It kind of brings that emotional side of me that kind of I don't ever really want to come out too much, because, well, I'm a man. You can't be emotional. Well, kind of a man, but we'll go into that later. It's quite hard, that compassion, and then to put that in action. And this morning we're going to look at that, but we're going to look at that through the eyes of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 and the Valley of Dry Bones. Because here we see God having compassion on the people of Israel. They're caught up in captivity, and the vision is of God's compassion on them and for them to be restored, for new life for his people. And as we read this passage, let's remember what Jesus said in John 10. And in John 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and may have life to the full." So as we read Ezekiel's vision, let's remember that life with Jesus is not just about existing. It's about life, and it's about abundant life. It's about life to the full. And God's compassion wasn't just about restoring his people Israel and bringing them back to their land. It was also about giving them life to the full. It was about giving them abundant life. It was about showing them that the Messiah was going to come and God would dwell with them. So Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Then he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked up, and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I've done it, declares the Lord. You see, this vision was written when the Jews were in captivity in Babylonia. And they were there, humanly speaking, because the Babylonians had defeated them. But they were actually there because they turned their back on God. The Jews had rejected God. They turned to their own gods, to the gods of that land, and they lived the life they wanted to. They rejected God and didn't want to follow him. And yet God had compassion on them. You see, they were living the consequences of turning their back on God. And yet God still loved them. He still had compassion. He still wanted them restored, renewed, and back to life. Back to life to the full. And as we read, Ezekiel just gets led around these valley filled with dry bones. And they're very dry. They're crumbling. They're not just dead. They're beyond dead. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? 2 years ago, we went to Scotland. And we were walking around and we saw this sheep skull. And it's just awesome. I mean, you can see the ridges in the horns and the eye sockets. I just loved it. It's probably for some people and not for others, but I just thought it was brilliant. And I thought the first thing that came to mind was, I wonder if this sheep can live. Well, no, it wasn't, was it? I mean, if you'd have said to me, can this sheep live? I'd be saying, no, there's no way the sheep can live. I mean, it's breaking off in my hand as I hold it up. There's no way this sheep is going to come back from the dead. It's got no skin, it's got no muscles, it's got no blood, it's got no heart. It's not got any other body. It's dead. Can these bones live? No. So it really surprises me when Ezekiel's there with God and God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Because that's a really odd answer, isn't it? Because the answer's no. There's no way these bones can live. There's no coming back from that. There's no way they're going to be restored again. That they're gone. They're never going to be formed again. They're dead, dry bones. And do you know what's really sad? It is when I read this passage, it then makes me think about my life and my life even as a doctor. And when I face overwhelming problems, when I see people whose life is a mess because of alcohol, because of drugs, because of poor decisions in their lives, because of poor decisions in their relationships, because of abuse, because of poverty. And I could just go on. And can these bones live? Can these people be restored? And sometimes it's so hard to see. It's so hard to believe, to have faith that those bones can be restored, that those bones can live. But we see in this passage, we have a living God who brings restoration in the large and in the small. These bones can live. See, I'm surprised when I read through the Gospels and read about Jesus and him having compassion, because he seemed to have compassion on some really big things, but he also had compassion on small things as well. He had compassion in the feeding of the 4,000 and miraculously gave them food. He had compassion on the blind. He had compassion on the widow at Nain whose son died. And yet when he was at a wedding in Cana, he had compassion and he turned water into wine. He had compassion on the small and the big, and he made a difference in both. And he ultimately had compassion by voluntarily going to the cross and dying for us. Because he wanted us to be restored. Because he saw our sin, he saw our suffering, he saw our pain. And he knew something just needed to be done. And he voluntarily went and sacrificed his life for you and for me. So that we could have life. Life to the full. And I think the first step in compassion is just realizing something just needs to be done. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you can do it. It doesn't matter if you have a plan or not. What matters is you hear God speaking and showing you the need, and your heart breaks because of it. And you know something just needs to be done. And that's why we need to have our hearts open and ready to be broken for the needs around us. Because I know so often I switch off my compassion because I don't think I can help, because I don't have time, because it just overwhelms me, because it just seems like too hard work. And God is saying, can these dry bones live? And I'm saying no, because I just don't know how they can live. I feel out of my depth. When I should be looking at these bones that God puts in my life and saying, well, these bones can live if you say so, God. This terrible situation will change if you say so, God. As Brenda shared earlier, this mountain will move if you say so, God. But our hearts need breaking first for those dry bones that God is putting in our lives. And we can't harden our hearts. We need to soften our hearts and open up to what God is placing around us. So you see these dry bones, you see these hopeless situations, and instead of ignoring them, you say to God, these dry bones, this situation will change if you say so, God. Because I think it's so easy for us not to think things are going to change. It's so easy to stay the same. And that can be for lots of reasons. It can be because of past failures, because of regrets, because of tiredness, because of exhaustion. But the truth is, we will not see these dry bones change without God. We won't see the situations change without God. So if God's telling you to do something, don't harden your hearts. Soften your hearts, let God break your hearts, and step out in faith and act. However impossible it might be, even if you don't think you've got a plan, God has a plan. He's given you that heart. Because compassion that doesn't lead to action is just feeling sorry for someone. And that's not going to change anything. And actually, the compassion that leads to action in our own strength, well, it's going to look a little better and it might make a little change. But compassion that leads us to humble ourselves before God, to seek God, to step out in faith, in act, in the impossible. I mean, that's just awesome, isn't it? And that's awesome because God's awesome. I was thinking of Ezekiel being asked to do what God wanted him to do. And he's there sitting on the floor of the valley of dry bones. And God asks him, will these bones live? And he thinks, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some sellotape and some blue tack. And he's sitting there and he's putting it together. And he doesn't do that, does he? He trusts God. God's told him what to do. So he steps out in faith and does it. He doesn't do it on his own. He knows he needs God's power. He knows he needs God's timing. Ezekiel has faith that God will change these dry bones. And so Ezekiel steps out in faith and he prophesies to the dry bones. And that's when we see the first transformation, don't we? Ezekiel's prophesying. And this doesn't work so well with my mic up here. It's prophesying, and you feel the dry bones coming together. They're just rattling over each other, and they're coming together. You see the tendons and the muscles form, and then the skin covers over their body, and They just lie there on the ground, don't they? They're lying on the ground. They don't move. They're bodies now. They're not dry bones, but they're lifeless. They're not the mighty living army that Ezekiel was expecting. I mean, they're not dry bones anymore, but they're dead bodies. And their essence hasn't changed. They're still dead. Whether they're bones or bodies, they're still dead. Their physical state has changed, but they're still dead. And I think sometimes God changes the external, earthly, temporary before he changes the internal, eternal. You see, when God breaks our hearts and leads us into new areas, and we have faith and we go to those areas and we see God transform the situation, God has led us there and so he'll provide. But sometimes we forget the stages to that transformation. God does not always transform those dry bones to living people straight away. Ezekiel does exactly what God told him to do. But those dry bones are not living bodies yet. And I think that's where we give up. That's something where I sometimes give up or get discouraged. Because I want complete restoration. I want God to work and do everything that he said he was going to do. We felt that God-given compassion. We felt God leading. We stepped out in faith and we acted. We did what God asked us to do. And the outcome doesn't seem to be as amazing as we thought it would be. And so we stop. Because we're like, God, have you stopped working? God, was that word not right? Because the dry bones have become bodies, but there's still no life in them. We can see changes, but they're not the complete transformation, the complete new that we thought they would be. And if God's asked us to do something, we need to keep going. And there are two things I think we can learn from this passage that help us to keep going. And the first is something I really feel that God's been teaching me recently, that is, although God wants communities to change, although God wants people to change and to know him, God cares for you. God loves you. God is transforming you. He is making you more into the person that he wants you to be and that he created you to be. You see, at the end of verse 8, we read the dry bones are lifeless bodies. And if I was Ezekiel at that time and I'd done everything that God asked me to do, I think I'd have given up. I'd have probably been really angry with God. I might not wait to hear what God wanted me to do next because I'd done what he wanted me to do. But he's more concerned about the journey that I go on with him. And that's not God doing everything that I want in the timing that I ask for, in the way that I ask for. And we see this in the book of Jonah, because Jonah's told to go to the Ninevites and tell them to repent. And Jonah does not want the Ninevites to repent. And he knows that God is gracious. I mean, how disgusting is that? God is gracious. And he knows that God will forgive them, and so he runs away. And then we get a storm and a giant fish later, and he returns to the Ninevites and he tells them to repent. And do you know what? They do repent. Jonah's right. God is gracious. And Jonah doesn't like it. And I think often I read this from the point of view from the Ninevites, but I think this story is so much more about Jonah, about Jonah's relationship with God, because God was developing Jonah's compassion. He was developing his character. He was helping Jonah know more of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy. And the Ninevites, they're important, but they're kind of a side story. Because Jonah's relationship and what he learns along the way and the development of his character and the increased knowledge of an awesome God, God's justice, his mercy, his timing. Jonah is a different person at the end of the book than he is at the beginning. He knows more of what God loves and what God hates. He has a deeper relationship with God. And God's transforming you because he cares about his relationship with you. And he wants you to develop, to transform, to mature, to be like him, to love what he loves and to hate what he hates. And God loves holiness. He loves goodness, kindness, grace, and mercy. And he hates sin and wrongdoing. He's set us apart. He's transforming us to be who we're created to be. So in those tough times, don't turn away from God. Pursue God, realizing that God is transforming you. He's getting you to know more of his awesomeness, his power, his grace, his mercy, his majesty. He wants a relationship with you that's deeper. And I think the other thing we can learn from this passage is that we have to step out deeper in faith. Because God transforms us. So if God transforms us, that means we're something different to what we were before. And because we're something different to what we were before, we can step out deeper in faith and do what God wants us to do. We read in Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds and breathe into this slain. So Ezekiel does this obediently a second time. And that's when he sees those lifeless bodies become a vast living army. What do you do when you face discouragement? When you face setbacks? You did all that was asked of you, but it didn't turn out the way you thought it was. Because Ezekiel knew something just needed to be done. He knew God's people need to be restored. And he prophesied as God told him to. He stepped out in faith and he knew God was the only one who could make the dead live. And when it didn't work out the way he thought, he was obedient to God. He still trusted God. He obeyed God. And it brought him closer to God. And it transformed him even more, showing him what needed to be done to God's people and how God was going to restore his people. And so Ezekiel steps out in deeper faith, with deeper knowledge of God, with deeper knowledge of God's power. And he prophesies to the bodies, and the breath of God enters them, and they live. Jesus said he's come to give us life, and life to the full. And sometimes I think we need to ask ourselves the question, are we living life to the full? Are we just existing? Are we just going through the motions? Are we doing the right things? Are we going to the right places? But we're just existing because we're doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in our own way. We're making things about us rather than about him. We're making the outcomes about what we want rather than what he wants. Are we living life to the full? Are we going on that exciting journey with God? Are we pressing deeper with God, whether things go easy or hard, knowing that he has the best for us? Are we getting to know him better? Are we striving to love what he loves and hate what he hates? Are we living life to the full because we're living in path and unity with God? Because if we want to see God's compassion in this world, they're going to need to see God in us. They're going to need to see his love in us, his holiness, his beauty, his goodness, his compassion in us. And I said so often, I switch off my compassion because it just seems so hard. It just seems out of my control. It seems impossible. But that's what God's calling us to do, to step out where he leads. And we can trust him. He can do the miraculous. But we need to be obedient. We need to get to know him more. We need to step out deeper with him. What's stopping us showing God's compassion? Because if you ever feel like something just needed to be done, but you don't now, have you switched off your compassion? Or have you focused so much on bringing transformation and change in others that you've forgotten God is changing you? Because he wants to renew you and transform you and develop you into the person he created you to be. Or have you stepped out in faith and you've been disappointed? You felt that God didn't show up. Well, this passage shows us that we need to keep stepping out in faith. God's transforming us. Let's allow him to transform us so we can step out in faith deeper with him each time. And we can experience life to the full as we get to know our Father God and let him transform us as we take those steps of faith each time. So what's God been challenging you about this morning? What's God breaking your heart for now? Let's just ask God, what is God asking you to do? And it can look impossible. You might not have plans, but where is God breaking your heart? Where is God transforming you through the hard and the good times? Are you striving to love what God loves? To hate what God hates? Get to know him more. Oh, Jesus, we come before you and we're just so overwhelmed with how much compassion you had for us. You went to the cross. You died for us because you saw us in our suffering, in our sin, and you wanted to pull us up and give us life to the full. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you had that compassion so that we may live. I thank you that you want to get to know us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for that work you do in our lives. And we pray that we would not switch off our compassion. We would just put ourselves in that place of feeling that emotion and hearing your call and stepping out in faith and knowing that you're transforming us to be more the person you created us to be. And we just thank you for that. And I just pray that you would challenge us to step out deeper in our workplace, in our neighbourhood, in our community, in Bedford, for those things that you keep putting in front of us, God, break our heart and help us to step out in faith and compassion and help it not to be us, but help it to be you. Because it's you, God, that brings change. It's you that transforms. It's you that makes those dry bones into vast living armies. And we want to see that, God. We want to see that in our communities, in our work, in Bedford. And I just pray you would help our hearts break with what your heart breaks for. And that we would show you in those situations. Amen.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.